T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Zach Zaidman.
You know, back in the day, I used to live the life. Not a Bieber life, but
no.
I used to live the life.
Zach Zaidman.
Are you serious?
That's an interesting question, Dave.
Fly the W!
4:32 for the Chicago Wolves update.
4:31.
Approaching 4:32 for the...
Just saw Zach fire an empty coffee cup.
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
I thought it was Max Zaidman. I'm sorry.
Chicago Sports Station.
All right, the NFL's Final Four is set, and it features who you thought would be there, right? Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady in the NFC, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, at least based on the way he played this season in the AFC. Four of the top seven passers in the NFL this season. You watched the games. You saw what happened. Now, they say defense wins championships, and that's true. But you don't get to play for a championship, I think, unless you have a great offense, and specifically a great quarterback. A pleasant good afternoon to you. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence until 2 o'clock, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Ahead on the show, 85 Bear Tom Thayer will join us for a couple of segments this hour. We'll break down what we saw this past weekend in the NFL playoffs and look ahead to championship weekend. You can hear both NFL championship games right here on The Score. Our coverage will start Sunday at 1 o'clock. We'll also ask Tom, what's in store for the Bears this offseason? More on that in a bit. At 1 o'clock, ex-Bear Sam Acho will join us. We'll talk some football with Sam. But with this being Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it is a good time to step back, reflect, check, and see if real progress has been made in the sports world when it comes to the social issues that were brought to the forefront during the protests last summer. As Dr. King said, quote, "Change does not roll on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle." And then at 1:20, we'll dive in on Deshaun Watson. Could the top-ranked passer this season really be on a new team next season? We'll ask former Texan Seth Payne, one of the voices on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And, of course, you're a big part of the show as well. 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. But first, a few thoughts. Now, if you're a Bears fan, no matter what age, you've likely always been taught the keys to success are run the ball, play great defense. And to be fair, it can lead to good things. San Francisco reached the Super Bowl last season doing it that way. Tennessee went as far as the AFC Championship game a year ago. But they weren't around this season. And that's because you can win here and there with that style, but you can't sustain success with it, at least the way you look at the NFL and the way it's played today. Only quarterbacks do that. Quarterbacks, not collaborations, win in the NFL. You know, when Jay Cutler threw his last pass for the Bears in 2016, no one in the NFL believed that it would be such a difficult task replacing him. But here we are, 4 years later, and the Bears are still searching for a guy who can play the position better. In 2017, the Bears offense ranked 30th out of 32 NFL teams. In 2018, the offense in Matt Nagy's first year as head coach finished the season ranked 21st in the league, the high water mark of the Nagy era. Last year, the Bears offense was ranked 29th, and this season, number 26 in the NFL. So whether it's been Mike Glennon, Mitchell Trubisky, or Nick Foles, none of them have been really good enough. Quarterbacks, not collaborations, win in the NFL. I don't understand why the Bears said what they said in their season-ending Zoom conference, because quarterbacks, not corporate buzzwords, win in the NFL. We got too caught up in these Zoom conferences. And instead of trying to figure out why they said what they said, I've tried to look at the reality of the Bears situation. We're in a pandemic, and even though Bears ownership is a lot richer than you and me, they lost money too. And like all of us, they've had to cut back. No one wants to hear it. You know, Cubs ownership got ripped when they talked about losing money. Blackhawks ownership got ripped as they try to rebuild. But it's reality. Maybe that's why the Bears said what they said. I have no idea. Another reality, though, is there were a bunch of teams looking to fill either head coach or GM vacancies before the Bears even took the field for that playoff game against New Orleans. So that meant you weren't going to get a shot at the best candidates anyway. The Bears were already behind in the process because they made the playoffs. They don't have a true answer at quarterback. Their salary cap situation is a mess, and they don't have the kind of draft position that entices the best of the best. So that's why Urban Meyer, for example, goes to Jacksonville or Robert Saleh to the Jets. I'm all for change. But if you change, do it right. And I don't think the Bears could have done it right this offseason. So I kind of get why they kept things as they are for at least one more year. And I also get why you are ticked off. This past Saturday marked 10 years since the Bears last won a playoff game. 10 years. It came at Soldier Field in the divisional round of the 2010 playoffs against Seattle, a team that finished 7-9 that year, but upset the defending champion Saints in the wildcard round. The last time the Bears beat a playoff team with a winning record was when they knocked out the Saints in the NFC Championship game in 2006, 14 years ago, this upcoming Thursday. So yeah, you have a right to be ticked off. I get it. And while we can't change the decisions that were made at Halas Hall, that doesn't mean that the Bears can't fix some of the issues for 2021. First and foremost, the Bears will only go as far next year as their defense takes them. There's a belief that this defense should be better than it's been. Find out why and fix it. Find out why it didn't live up to expectations in 2020. Since the Bears don't have a franchise quarterback and likely won't have one when the season starts, commit to building a physical offensive football team. Got a running back in David Montgomery who rarely goes down on first contact. Use him properly. Make the run the focal point of your offense. When you do it right, it doesn't matter if the opponents know it's coming. Make a physical ground and pound game your identity. Play action off of it. Balanced offensive football that keeps your defense fresh and formidable. Is it fun? Winning is fun. And what we've seen the last couple of years isn't. There are no shortcuts to winning in the NFL. Enough with trading valuable draft picks away and signing high-priced over-the-hill free agents. Build the team the right way. Competency, not collaboration, wins in the NFL. And quarterbacks win. But it's the single toughest position to identify and the single most important one needed for sustained success. So beginning this offseason, start adding a new one to the mix every single year. Eventually, you'll hit on one, but until you do, fix the rest of your team so that when you actually get that quarterback, you'll truly be ready for the next level of success. And forget about Deshaun Watson. You had your chance and whiffed. He's got a no-trade clause. We don't even know if the Texans will really look to trade him. And the Bears simply don't have the infrastructure in place to make that happen right now. There are no shortcuts to fixing this. Build it right and it'll work. And if that infrastructure isn't in place by this time next year, boy, we're going to have a very different Zoom conference that we're talking about come a year from now. 312-644-6767. Let's talk some football with Tom Thayer next. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Victory formation, and that'll do it. And the Green Bay Packers moving on to the NFC Championship.
Zach Zach Zaitman with you in for Lawrence until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, moments away from talking some football with 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Come up at 1 o'clock, former Bear Sam Acho will join us. Made a recommendation today as to who he thinks would be best to coordinate the Bears defense next season. Plus, we'll head down to Houston coming up at 1:20 and find out what's fact and fiction when it comes to Deshaun Watson. And did you catch Watson on Twitter today, earlier this morning, tweeting, quote, "I'm hearing there is a march planned on my behalf in Houston today. Although I am humbled, I ask that whoever is organizing the march cancel for the sake of public safety. COVID is spreading at a high rate, and I don't want any fans to unnecessarily expose themselves to infection." What the heck is happening in Houston? And I don't just mean the city. I'm talking about specifically that organization. What is up with the Texans? I mean, the hardest thing to find, to build around, to make sure you have an organization that can go to the next level, is finding the quarterback. They actually have the quarterback. Deshaun Watson was the top-ranked passer in the NFL this season. He had his best season in the NFL, and that's after they took away his top receiving threat. That's after the head coach and GM got fired. I mean, he still put together a whale of an individual season, but the infrastructure around him isn't in place. It just boggles the mind. You can't get rid of a guy who's 25 years old and that talented. Let's talk some football here on The Score. Tom Thayer joins us on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good, Zach. How are you?
All right, let's start with that then. Let's start with Deshaun Watson. And before we talk about where he may go or if he may go, how does it get to a point where things get so ugly in an organization, as clearly is the case down in Houston?
Well, you know, you just mentioned a lot of stuff that's happened, you know, as far as taking away from his receiver, not wanting to sign Jadeveon Clowney. J.J. Watt still, you know, has a lot to say inside the locker room, but limited production on the field. And you kind of see the deterioration of what they thought could be a deep-in-the-playoff type of team a couple years ago. And then the whole fiasco of the head coach and the GM and all that. And, you know, players get disgruntled because they have more platforms to express their opinion about a team. You know, 20 years ago or before social media, you can only really express your opinion if you're talking face-to-face to a reporter or your teammates in the locker room. Now there's a lot more avenues of disgruntled rhetoric that you can put out there.
If you're a team like the Texans, can you afford to trade a guy like Watson? Or do you do everything in your power to make sure that you fix the relationship that clearly needs some repair?
Yeah, first of all, I need to gain control of the whole locker room. I'm not going to just make sure that I sit out there and try to satisfy all of the requests and the desires and the needs of Deshaun Watson. I got to put together the best plan of attack for the Houston Texans going forward to try to get myself into the playoff run, in that, you know, a divisional run, and then into the playoffs. So I admire Deshaun Watson probably as much as anybody in the league because he is so outspoken about he wants a good supporting cast around him. And I do think that's important for him to voice his opinion. But again, it's about making sure that you put pieces in place and there's 60 of them, or at the beginning of a training camp, 80 of them that you need to bring on board. And you have to improve the running game. You have to give Deshaun Watson more weapons to use downfield. And you got to make sure that you fulfill the defensive side of the ball so you're not just a one-sided, lopsided team. So, again, I admire Deshaun Watson and all of the requests he's making for the Texans to get better. But like you said, you can't just fulfill his needs individually because I think it's selfish to the rest of the team.
Talking some football with Tom Thayer here on The Score. The reason I asked you that is because I feel like you were part of a group, the 85 team, that was as outspoken as any NFL team we've ever seen. And you guys didn't need social media to let your thoughts come out to the entire world. How did you guys manage that? Because you had personalities, and you had guys that were outspoken, and you had guys that were criticizing management while you were playing. How did you guys handle that?
Because ultimately it came down to one voice, and that was Mike Ditka. We, you know, Mike Ditka allowed us to be the personalities whomever we were. You know, and everybody, there were so many different personalities on that team. Everybody had a little bit of their own unique transfer of information inside the locker room, whether it's the seriousness of a guy like Mike Singletary, the outward, you know, craziness of Hampton and McMichael, the unknown of what he was willing to do of Jim McMahon. But then again, when we got into team meetings, there was only one guy that was doing the talking. There was only one guy that presented our information to the media after games, and that was Mike Ditka. So, you know, he allowed everybody to be the crazy they were going to be. But as long as on Sunday you were ready to play for the good of the Chicago Bears and George Halas, that's everything we focused on, and we never let the other things interfere with the way that we are preparing for our next opponent.
We'll get to your thoughts on what the Bears need to do this offseason in just a bit. But first, I want to get your thoughts on what you saw, Tom, over the weekend in the NFL playoffs. What stood out to you?
The running game is really important still. As much as you know, you want to profile the passing game and the unique offenses, that if you're going to control the entire scope of what you can do to a team from the offensive side of the ball, it better start with a determined, good, aggressive running game, because that filters to so many other levels of your offense. But that is the one constant that you need, whether it's third and one or trying to close out the second half and throughout the fourth quarter. And, it, you know, the running game still has an important role in overall football success.
Tom Thayer is with us. It's interesting you say that, because I would look at the final four teams and say that it's about the quarterbacks. I mean, all of them have top passers. You've got four of the top seven rated passers in the NFL this season, including Josh Allen, who was fantastic. The only guy that's not ranked in the top five is Aaron Rodgers. He was seventh, but he's just Aaron Rodgers. You know what he brings to the field. Can you sustain success if you don't have elite level play at the quarterback position?
Well, I mean, are you talking about Trent Dilfer type of guy, where you bring in a team like the Baltimore Ravens, who's so overly dominant on the defensive side of the ball, plus they have a dynamic rushing game, and you can still win the Super Bowl? Yeah, it can be done, but it's football's about supporting cast. We're not talking about Drew Brees today, because we're talking about Brady and we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and the rest of these quarterbacks. But the one, you know, and Josh Allen, you know, he's a running quarterback. You know, he 2 weeks ago, he was the leading rusher and the leading passer for his team. So to me, it's still about what does the running game do for the overall abilities of your offense. Like I said, when you look at a three-headed monster in Green Bay, and the way how hard those guys run the ball and how many yards after initial contact they get, it's kind of a two-headed monster there, where Aaron's able to feed the running game because they're so paranoid on defense about him being able to throw the ball over the top of you. So it's like one hand feeding the other, in those terms of what you're looking at now in the playoffs in these different offenses that are going to face each other.
Tom Thayer is with us. Can we look ahead, Tom, to championship weekend? Let's start in the NFC, because during the regular season, we saw Green Bay go down to Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers crushed the Packers. Why is it going to be different this weekend at Lambeau Field?
Well, I don't know what the conditions are going to be. You know, that's one of the factors that could always kind of filter into a warm weather team like that. If they're not perfect field conditions and it's just so cold that these guys can't transfer the willingness to go out there and play a football game when the temperatures are so you know, egregious. However, Todd Bowles, he is a dynamic defensive coordinator, and he's got a great group of players that kind of it's the perfect match of having athletes that can cover but also the willingness to blitz. And they took a toll on the Green Bay offense when they played them down in Tampa Bay. And so you're still packing that on the plane with you. You're still bringing that defensive part of you. And we're, you know, we're not even talking about what the offense can accomplish for Tampa, because I'm more encouraged about the defense they're bringing with them. Tom Brady will get the work done. We've seen him under some of the worst conditions in football playoff history be able to perform like a 70 and sunny. So it's about what Todd Bowles can do to the protectors, the offensive line, and even what frame of mind could he put Aaron Rodgers in, even though he's probably one of the most brilliant quarterbacks that's going to be playing this weekend.
You know, the few times that we've seen the Packers offense look vulnerable, it happened against Todd Bowles down in Tampa when there was relentless pressure on the quarterback. And it happened last year in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco when the 49ers just got after Rodgers. The only way to make him uncomfortable is to hit him, because if you don't hit him, he's got an answer for whatever you're throwing his way.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's kind of when I was watching the game, what was it, Saturday, there's almost times that Aaron Rodgers has a smirk on his face because he knows the play that he has called, and then he looks across the line of scrimmage and understands immediately what they're going to try to do defensively. And he's almost smirking because he knows what's going to work. Just like the individual hand signal that he gave Lazard. And during his cadence, he gives him a hand signal to go long. He goes long, and Aaron throws him the ball. So it is. You got to get pressure to Aaron Rodgers. But what you got to do is you have to go in there with a complimentary running game to his. Tampa Bay has to go in there in with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones the second and the rest of the guy, Shady McCoy. They got to be able to run the ball, because I don't think you're going to have multiple three-and-out drives against Aaron Rodgers, or else he's going to take the advantage of those situations, score points, and beat you. So I don't necessarily say it's going to go toe-to-toe with the two quarterbacks. It's going to be more of the two defensive coordinators, and there is two good defensive coordinators in this game. Packers are going to bring a physical element, and Todd Bowles is going to bring the different angle element in terms of where they're going to come from.
Talking football with Tom Thayer here on The Score, let's switch over to the AFC. What do you need to see this week in terms of the reports when it comes to Patrick Mahomes?
You know, I mean, we're not going to see any type of injury report that comes out until Wednesday. And, you know, I mean, if he's out there practicing Wednesday, then, you know, he's going to be a go. But maybe he won't be allowed back on the field until Friday or Saturday. We don't have a big enough body of work to see if he's the type of guy that can sit out and just show up for the game. I think it's difficult when you're talking about playing against Leslie Frazier's defense up in Buffalo, and they're in Kansas City, but what Leslie Frazier defense can do to you, and what Buffalo's offense is capable of right now in the playoffs. But I think if Patrick Mahomes is a late activate, if he's activated like Saturday or something, you know, what type of head does he have? Is he clear-headed? Is his foot okay? Is he going to be able to respond to all the requirements? And so, yeah, you know, that's your $500 million guy that you need him on the field for Kansas City to be Kansas City.
How does Buffalo go about winning this game if Mahomes is out there? What's the best way the Bills can go about trying to upset KC?
You know, it's kind of like the old blueprint when New England was 17-0, and then they brought the New York Giants in there, and they continuously got pressure against the quarterback with four men. And then they were having significant bodies drop behind the line of scrimmage. The four guys were able to get to the quarterback, or at least get him off his spot, compromise his fundamentals. And then it was a challenge for a quarterback to be great in those conditions. So if Buffalo can come and they can bring that type of pressure with four guys, I think that'll be the best deterrent to all the weapons Kansas City brings with them.
All right, Tom, I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll dive into the Bears. There's a lot to discuss, there's a lot to fix, and there's a lot to digest from what transpired this past season for the Bears. So we'll do that. We'll talk Bears with Tom Thayer and look ahead to getting some answers as opposed to just assigning blame. Tom Thayer is with us. Zach Zabeman here until 2 o'clock, filling in for Lawrence on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Zach Zabeman in for Lawrence on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We talk Bears and more with Sam Acho at the top of the hour, but we've got Tom Thayer, who's kind enough to join us for a second segment here this hour. We just finished breaking down the NFL playoffs. The Bears want to get back there again next year and do some more damage in the postseason if they can get in. And we heard a lot last week from the highest levels of the Bears organization, Tom. But I think sometimes the football, a lot of things get said, but you can't really listen to what gets said. It's about action in the game of football. So when it comes to this offseason, what's the action that the Bears need to take to put themselves on the right path?
Oh, you know, it's first of all, they got to get back to the style of defense that the Bears are accustomed to playing and the Bears fans are accustomed to seeing. I was really disappointed in the latter part of the season of how unphysical the Bears defense was. And so I do think whomever they do hire as the new coach there, the new defensive coordinator, he's got to bring in a mindset of every one of these players and requirements that's set forth by the coordinator that it's you have to play a physical brand of defense or else we have to look to move on. And I know that's the challenge of every player every year throughout the course of their NFL career is you play up to the expectations that we have set for you. And I know it's difficult to try to move people on in the modern day CBA. But I need to see a punishing style defense. I need to see the style of defense that the Bears have gained a reputation for in the league over the league history and be able to present it to their divisional opponents to climb back in the divisional race. And then you got to get things settled on offense. And what are you going to be from the beginning? I think last year with the shortened preseason and stuff, and you have two completely different quarterbacks and Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky, and it's almost like you're trying to present two different systems to two different quarterbacks because they have different kinds of assets. And I think that was unsettling to the point where, you know, you have to put a system in that's repetitiously done at practice that is developing the receiver position and taking advantage of the qualities of David Montgomery, Cordarrelle Patterson, Artavis Pierce. I think that he has the ability to play good football in the future. And then the rehabilitation of Tariq Cohen. All those types of elements, you need everybody on the same path, but it's defensive style that Chicago's accustomed to and everybody on the same page on the offensive side of the ball. So we're putting in one system that fits everybody the best.
Tom, before we start talking about the offense, because there's so much to break down from that standpoint, let's start with the defense, because this is a defense that I think everyone believes, and you just said it, can play a lot better than what we saw for most of 2021. How much of it is just getting some guys back from a health standpoint that you didn't have available to you down the stretch at full strength?
I mean, that always plays a role in it, but that's the same role that every single other team in the league is facing. You know, to me, Zach, it's about making sure that you have a point-scoring offense that allows your defense to play with a more aggressive tempo. If you're just trying not to give up big plays, not to give up points, you're always on the cautious side of playing defense, you can't play aggressive. So it's about making sure that, first of all, your offense holds up their end of the bargain. But when you get a chance to unleash it on the defensive side of the ball, no matter who's playing, because, hey, they miss Roquan Smith for a game and Jalen Johnson, a rookie, that even though he was having a good year, that was kind of just good fortune by the fact that he played so well. I need tackling to be better. I need tackling to be more vicious. I need that this team has left an indelible mark on them when they get done playing the Bears. And I've seen evidence of it in the NFL, and I know it can still happen. But I'm not going to, you know, make excuses for who wasn't there. It's about everybody having a physical role when they get their opportunity to play.
Does it mean going back to, and again, you're good with understanding the nuances of this, does it mean going back to the way they ran their scheme when Vic Fangio was here? Or does it mean that you can run any scheme, you just have to be a little bit more of a physical football team than you've been, say, the last year plus?
Well, you know, you need to earn the opportunity to play like Vic Fangio. If you can slow him or stop him with regularity on first and second down, then you can put him in that third and lengthier type of down and distance, and it's going to give you a chance to be more aggressive. But you can't go and play a passive style of defense and let them, you know, get 5 yards on first down, then a couple more on second, then all of a sudden they're in a third down situation where they can do anything they want against you. It's not necessarily making them more predictable. It's about playing more physical, so you really limit their options of what they can do against you. And then if you're in a position where you recognize a vulnerability against your opponent, then you got to be able to take advantage of it. And maybe that's moving Khalil Mack around a little bit more. Maybe that's moving Akeem Hicks up and down the line of scrimmage, putting Roquan Smith in a more aggressive position at linebacker where he can become an effective blitzer that he can be, but he also has the other responsibilities that he's capable of pulling off.
Talking some football with Tom Thayer here on The Score. All right, let's move to the offensive side of things. And I think before we start talking about what kind of style the Bears want to be from an offensive standpoint, isn't the most important thing that they need to do establish the run physically? The way you talked about the defense, isn't that the kind of mentality that the offense needs? Starting up front, using David Montgomery, who rarely goes down on first contact, to create the kind of offense where even though the other team knows you're going to try and run, you're still going to be effective doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I'll just put it in a different terms. You need a couple of bread and butter plays that no matter what the defense is showing you, that you can still run them successfully against. And I think if you go up there with some of the biggest and most critical situations throughout the course of the year, and you're calling a play that you hope everybody's on the right page because you don't run it that frequently, or you're trying to get an uncertain blocker involved in the scheme, it's about making sure that you have a presence up front that, look, man, when we need those, when we need that third and two, or if we need to take first and 10 down to second and five, we got those plays, and we can run them at you repeatedly, even if you know they're coming. And so that's kind of the mindset that needs to be ingrained in the whole offensive side of the ball, that they have a much tougher approach in the mentality of the team when you talk about running the ball. But you have to be able to sustain that mentality from the first quarter through the fourth quarter.
All right, so let's start up front with the offensive line. What'd you learn about some of the new guys that really began to play well during that final month?
They know how to play the game. They're well organized, whether they're doing assignments individually or if they're working in tandem in a combination block with a fellow offensive lineman, or if they have to be organized according to different types of pass protections, whether it's play action, bootleg, straight drop back, and they really meshed and worked well together. Cody Whitehair, you know, has a chance if he stays in place at the left guard position where he can be dominant. He's strong. He's a good athlete. He works well together because he knows the center and guard position and how they work well together. And that's what it is. It's about having a dominance from your offensive line that it's the go-to element of your offense when you need success. Yeah, you always are. If you have the go-to element through the running game on your offense, you're going to create so many more opportunities downfield, whether in a play action sense or just straight downfield throwing the ball for your quarterbacks and receivers, and you're going to be able to create bigger opportunities and bigger plays for guys like Darnell and Cole Kmet and even David Montgomery, because he's a good receiver that can win routes to the outside.
Tom, when it comes to quarterback, what do the Bears need for 2021 that's realistic?
Matt, you better have a guy that everybody that's teaching this system to is confident in their intellect, their ability to learn quickly, and then put all the implement of the offense in place. What are you using? What are you, do you have the creativeness with your feet that you can keep that moving pocket involved? Or is your downfield vision and dominance so dynamic that you can build a pocket around him to keep the quarterback inside, to get the ball out of your hands, to make those big plays that we talked about? But, it's going to be making sure that you have a guy that's being taught the most important position on the offensive side of the ball, that he has a great understanding of the system that you're trying to put into place.
Because when you watched the Bears Zoom conference, did you get the idea that Mitchell Trubisky's time with the Bears is done? Do you think he might be back? Does it depend on who else is available to them via free agency or the draft? How do you see this playing out? It's tough to know because there's so many questions, but just based on what you heard, what was running through your mind?
Well, I mean, personally, if it was me, I would somehow get Mitch back here for one more year if I could. Because I was confused at the end of it. So what I'm saying is I don't know. I was left with a lot of uncertainty after the press conference in terms of exactly what they're going to do. But from what I've seen of these coaches being able to use the good, aggressive, positive traits out of Mitch, I think that is a season sustainable. So, if you put everybody in the same – on the same page, is Mitch your go-to guy? I would just need to see names presented to me. And then from what we know about them already throughout different parts of their career, or if they're a rookie, I need to see names. I need to see who is going to offer you a better opportunity than Mitch, because I assume Nick's is going to be here regardless.
Our final few moments here with Tom Thayer on the Score. Let me ask it a different way. Can you run the kind of offense we saw the Bears run in December against some of the weaker defenses in the NFL? Can you run that successfully with this group against the best teams in the NFL?
Oh, I think of course you can. You can run that system any time of the year, but it's got to include a really effective running game that's, trying to, you got to average 4 yards a carry. You just have to. And I think it's going to be hard for any type of quarterback system to succeed if you don't have the support of a running game. But the thing about it is what you have to understand is the more reps on the field for, let's just say, Mitch, the more reps he has on the field, the more he's going to learn, the better he's going to get an understanding of other elements that it's going to be able to expand his game. And this is what, the growth process of the old school of quarterbacks, they used to allow him to, show those growth spurts throughout the course of a career until, maybe 4 or 5. To use the entirety of the game plan you're offered, so I just think that it's a continuous development if that's the system you have in place.
Yeah, I'm wondering, and a lot of that obviously will be based on financially what they
can
do.
Are you there, Zach?
Because,
Yeah,
a lot of it's going to be based financially on what they can do, Tom, because they are dealing with a very difficult salary cap situation,
right,
which gets us to Allen Robinson. What would be your recommendation, that you let him go if you can't reach a long-term agreement, or would you franchise him to make sure that you don't lose him?
Well, first of all, I would try to get a deal done with Allen Robinson, but I'm not going to pay him top wide receiver. I'm not going to pay him number one wide receiver money. Not for a contract, not for a day until someone leapfrogs him. I would love to have Allen Robinson here from everything that he's demonstrated about his professional life, that he is an asset in the on this team, on this roster. But again, it needs to be a responsible amount of money. It's still going to be generational wealth for Allen Robinson and his family, but he has to understand there's other pieces I need in place if you want to really be on a team that's going to compete for a division title. So there's a lot of elements, like you talk about, we don't understand agent management conversation. We don't understand what his request is that is the starting of his negotiation point. So there's a lot of different elements that it'd be easy to, if we are just putting together a fantasy team saying, oh, yes, no, I want this guy, I don't want that guy. You can't do it. Like you said, the finances you have to consider when you're talking about the quarterback situation as well as the receiver position.
Yeah, very difficult decisions ahead. Hey, Tom, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time.
You're welcome, Zach.
Tom Thayer spending some time talking Bears and NFL with us. We're not done with the football talk. Let's take a break. When we come back, Sam Acho will join us. He has an idea on who should be the next Bears defensive coordinator. We'll ask the former Bear for what he thinks and why. Zach Zaveman with you. In for Lawrence until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.